It's already been mentioned, we appreciate your presence, and we're glad that you're here, and we have those that are visiting with us, and we are certainly glad that you're here as well as we come together to worship our Heavenly Father. Those of you who are parents might be able to relate that when your children are really small, this happened to Sherry and I maybe a few times in our lifetime. When they're really small, sometimes they will be telling somebody else maybe something that's embarrassing to you as a parent. Remember when that happened? Right. So they started in on, "Daddy said the other day," and you're kind of wanting to shush them real quick or hope that they don't finish that sentence, or maybe hope that the people that heard that have a bad memory. But sometimes someone will speak and it might embarrass us a little bit. This morning I want to talk about if your Bible could talk, what would it say? If your Bible could talk, what would it say? Earlier this year, I was given this Bible. And if you didn't know anything about the person who owned it, you could probably tell a lot about the person by just handling it if I were to hand it to you. The first thing that you would notice is that if you open it up, it says June 1974, right under the person's name. This Bible has been used since June of 1974. That's over 40 years. That says that this person held on to it and was protective of it and thought a lot about it. It wasn't just something that was discarded very easily. Had it in their personal possession and used it for over 40 years. The second thing that you would notice if I handed you this Bible was you see the white duct tape there. This person was wanting to hold on to this Bible and keep it being used even though it was wearing out. And this brown cover on the outside is not the cover of the Bible. The original cover is underneath. It was black. This is an outer cover that's trying to protect the inner cover that's falling apart. So the inner cover started falling apart. Then this person put this outer thing on it. And it started falling apart. And this person was using brown duct tape and white duct tape to keep it going. So that would basically tell you that this person wanted to hold on to it and read it and study it and keep it because it meant a lot to them. Another thing that you would notice if you opened up this Bible is there's just notes on every page. Just about every page there's notes. So that would say that this person was wanting to learn the Word of God. Do something extra other than just reading it. Delve into it. There's comments about what certain words mean and cross references and just different kinds of notes. And so it would say that this person was really wanting to understand and learn and know the Word of God. If you opened up this Bible, in the front and back, there's all these pages of notes, just different types of comments on different types of Bible topics. And so that would tell you that this person was wanting to learn more of God's Word and then write some things down in case this person wanted to share it with somebody else, study with somebody else about those topics. And that lets you know that this person was wanting to do more than just have a Bible. It was much more meaningful than just carrying it around. It was to be for teaching, and there's some extra notes here that would jog this person's mind. You can tell a lot about a person from their Bible. And if your Bible could speak today, or if your Bible could talk today, what would it say about you? One other thing. Years ago, Bibles, and I've got a few of these in my library, where the end of the pages were printed in red. A red ink was put so that it would just be solid red. Maybe you've seen those particular kinds of Bibles. They're, just about all the red is gone from thumbing the pages, turning those pages. Over 40 years, that red's going to be worn off by just your fingers moving those pages. And you can look down the end here, and you can see these pages are really frayed and worn. This Bible was used a lot. If you didn't even know who owned this Bible, you could learn a lot about them. What does your Bible say about you? What does my Bible say about me? Every once in a while I'll see this statement, and I'm paraphrasing. You'll see it on a church sign every once in a while. It'll say something like, a Bible that is falling apart is usually carried by someone who's not. Have you ever seen that? A Bible that is falling apart is usually carried by someone who's not. In other words, this person is really using their Bible, and it's falling apart. The pages are coming out and the cover's worn, but they're not falling apart because they're following that Word of God, and it's helping them. Their marriage is not falling apart. Their personal character is not falling apart. Their family's not falling apart. Bibles that are falling apart usually are carried by people who are not. And I think that's a good sentiment. So this morning, let's talk a little bit about if your Bible could talk, what would it say? And you stop and think about that. There are other things in our home like that. If your computer could talk, what would it say about where we're going online and what we're viewing online? If your cell phone could talk, what would it say about what we're texting and what we're commenting on and the conversations that we're having throughout the day? If our cell phone could talk, what would it say? If the four walls of our house could talk, what would it say? Would it report arguing and fussing and fighting, or would it report unity and peace? What if the four walls of your house could talk? You see, if these things in our life could talk, what would it say? It would say what is actually going on, I'm sure. It would speak the truth. It would speak to who we really are. And so let's consider that with this book that we hold in our hands this morning. If our Bible could talk, what would it say? Would it say that my owner doesn't open me between church services? Or would it say that my owner opens me as much as he or she can? It sounded like the daily Bible reading numbers here at Warfield were up today. It just sounded like there were more than maybe normal. And I'm excited about that. I'm encouraged by that. Was it the high school class that had 100%? That's awesome. Keep it up. But if our Bible could talk, would it say, my owner doesn't open me between church services? I stay in the car during the week. I get left at the church building during the week. I get left in the classroom. It stays in my bedroom and doesn't get picked up again until I'm out of the door at the last minute to Wednesday night services, and I get picked up again, but I don't get touched again until Sunday. Would it say that, or would it say that, like Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so, just like I have daily bread, I have daily spiritual bread, and I open up God's Word, and I like the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2, that I meditate on it day and night. That's a regular use of God's Word. It's not just a church thing. The Bible is not a church thing, or a church building thing, or just something that is done three times a week. It's a daily bread for me. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my way. And it's a regular guidance. And I'm always thumbing through it to better myself. If your Bible could talk, would it say that? If your Bible could talk, would it say, my owner reads me, but does it really know me or understand me? You know, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29, there are several passages here I'd like to go through. The Sadducees were questioning Jesus about the resurrection, and he said that you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God. You do err. You do err. Not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. And then later,
just a few verses later, in verse 32, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is the God of the dead, but not the God of the dead, but of the God of the living. And when the multitudes heard it, they were astonished at his teaching. Did the Sadducees, he had just quoted from Exodus 3, did the Sadducees know Exodus 3? They knew where it was in the scrolls. If they were to go into the synagogue, they could find it on the scroll. But they didn't know it. They didn't understand it. They didn't appreciate it. They didn't put together the statements there of Exodus chapter 3, and that there are people that live on after death. You do err not knowing the Scriptures. In chapter 24 and verse 15, Jesus said, he that reads, let him understand. When we pick up our Bible, we read some words, but do we stop and learn what those words mean, or do we just read over them? Let's read in such a way that we read and understand, Jesus said. There are different times when Jesus would say, how do you read, or how do you read the Scripture, Luke 10:26? He's not talking about, do you read it fast or slow? Do you read it quiet or loud? How do you read? He's talking about when you read your scroll, he's talking to the scribe there, do you read it with an understanding and with an application? Let's read to understand. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24 when Jesus was resurrected and he had a few days with his disciples before ascending back into heaven. One thing that he wanted to do was to interpret the Scriptures, to explain them so that they could truly know them. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 27, he interpreted to them all the Scriptures, the things concerning himself. He was explaining so that they could understand those old Mosaic Scriptures, how that they applied to him. And again, in verse 32, the two on the road to Emmaus, he opened to us the Scriptures. He explained them so that we could understand them. In John chapter 20 and verse 9, when Jesus was resurrected, there was a point there that where John says that the disciples did not yet know the Scripture. Well, the disciples would have known many of the Old Testament passages, but they didn't know the Scriptures. They didn't fully understand them, particularly the ones that dealt with the resurrection. It may have been Psalm 16 and verse 10 that they didn't understand, or maybe Isaiah 53 verses 11 and 12 that they didn't quite understand, that spoke or that implied a resurrection of the Messiah after he was crucified on the cross. But they didn't fully know that. But they had been around them. Let's make sure that as we're reading and studying in our Bible classes here or at home, that there is the explanation and the understanding of what we're reading and what we're studying. Philip in Acts chapter 8, when he is with the eunuch, the great question there, do you understand what you are reading? And the eunuch says, how can I unless someone guide me? And so Philip comes up and preaches Jesus to him and gets him to understand about Jesus, the Messiah. And the eunuch says, here is water, what hinders me from being baptized? He understood. Would my owner say that my owner reads me a lot, but there's not a lot of understanding? Let's read to understand. There's several passages here that you see. One good thing that we can do is just read a verse, and when we get to a word we don't understand, just stop. I'm talking about an English word. We might have time to delve in deeper to those languages that are behind that English, and the Greek and the New Testament and the Hebrew and the Old Testament, and that's fine. But I'm just talking about English words. We could just stop and make sure we understand those English words. What would our Bible say if it could talk? Let it say that I'm read often and I'm read with the view of understanding. With me to Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. Would my Bible say that my owner reads only favorite passages but nothing else? You know, a lot of people have Bibles. Do you know the Bible
is the most printed and sold book of all time. 3 Bibles are sold every second in this country. 3 Bibles are sold every second in this country. 3, 6, 9, 12, etc. It's very popular. Out of the 100 million Bibles that were printed recently, 20 million, one-fifth, 20 million were bought and sold in the United States. That's a lot of Bibles. It's a very popular book. But is it read and understood and obeyed, or do we simply buy these things at a bookstore because it's kind of the thing to do, and every once in a while read a favorite passage? I love reading Psalm 23 in the Old Testament. I love to turn over to the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, and it gives me comfort. And of course, we all know my favorite passage, John 3:16. So I'll read that from time to time. I'm not disparaging any of those Bible passages, but what happens is people have these favorite Bible passages and they'll turn to them maybe on certain kinds of occasions. Sometimes a Bible is referenced at a wedding or maybe at a funeral or maybe at a graduation or something along those lines. We'll reference it here and there. You'll hear a smattering of Scripture. Sometimes a politician wanting to gain some points with his constituents will make a little reference to the Bible or something like that. Paul in Acts chapter 20 talks about preaching the whole counsel of God. Do we read just our favorite passages, or do we read it all the way, all that God wants for us? If we've read John 3:16, have we read all of John? If we've read Psalm 23, have we read any of the other Psalms? If we've read the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, have we read the rest of the Sermon on the Mount or the rest of the book of Matthew? Let's make sure that we're reading everything God has for us, not just the favorite passages. Would my Bible say my owner reads a verse here or there to make a point, but doesn't read the context above and below? That's what the devil did. If you'll turn over to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 6, that's what the devil did. There are people today that have Bibles, and they like to engage in religious discussions and conversations and debate, and that's good. I'd like to see more of that. We're losing that in our climate today. Seems like a lot of people don't want to discuss spiritual things anymore. But sometimes when they choose to do it, they will bring up one Bible passage to prove a particular point that they're trying to make. Some point about salvation, or some point about the second coming of Christ, or some point about the church, or it could be anything. But they don't read above and below. They don't read the context. Context means a text con with another text. The text with the texts that are above it and below it. And the devil did that. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 6, when he takes Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple, he says, jump down. Jump off, and the Lord will send angels to bear you up. And you won't dash your foot on a stone. You won't hit the ground. And he quotes Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. If you turn back there to Psalm 91, 11 and 12, you'll notice that the devil, yes, was accurately quoting those verses, but he's taking them out of context, because the context of that psalm is a person who has constant trust in God. Not trying God, not testing God, but trusting God. Those are two different things. And you start reading in Psalm 91, beginning in verse 1, it's talking about a person that gets up each day and just trusts God. He doesn't put himself in a situation where he's going to tempt or test God. You better catch me if I jump off. But he's just living his daily life. And in that context, God will guard us and guide us and help us. Not when we tempt God to make him bail us out. But when we're just living our trusting life, he will help us. Let's be careful that we don't do the same thing. We'll talk about this more this evening. We invite you back this evening. I've got part 2 of my lesson on objections to to baptism answered. And there are people who will just pick out faith passages. They'll pick out faith passages and say, well, baptism is not necessary because this verse says faith, John 3:16. But we don't read above it and below it. It's interesting that in John 3:16, people will quote verse 16 about faith only. You don't have to be baptized. But a few verses, about 10 verses earlier in verse 5, Jesus said, he that is born of water and of spirit can enter into the kingdom of God. Well, all of a sudden we got water in the picture. What is that? Well, that's baptism. But we're just going to quote verse 16. We're going to leave out verse 5. So when we read and study, brethren, and open up our Bible, we're going to read all of that context. It's easy to flip over, and we can be guilty of the same thing and put our finger on something where we're trying to prove something. And we do need to demonstrate and prove what we believe with the Word of God. But when we go to prove that, make sure that that verse is staying within its context. We're going to 2 Timothy 2:15. We're going to handle accurately or handle aright the Word of Truth. The word there literally means to cut a straight course, orthotomeo, to cut straight. And we're going to be serious and precise, just like we would want Paulo or any physician to be careful when he's cutting on us. Any physician, we want them to be serious and careful and accurate. That's the idea there. We need to be that with the Word of God. We owe it to God's Word to do that. And in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, we're not going to twist the Scriptures to suit our own ideas or thoughts and do that to our own destruction. Let us honor God's Word enough to read all of it, not just favorite passages. And when we read a verse, make sure that we keep it within its context. Context is everything. Have you ever been speaking to anyone and somebody heard you speaking and they took what you said out of context? Has that ever happened to you? I see some heads doing this. Did you appreciate that? Then I see heads doing this. How does God view that? When we take His Word out of a context, He would think the same thing, wouldn't He? He's shaking His head. That's not what I said. That's not what I meant by that. That's not what I intended to teach by that. See? Give Him the same deference that we would give each other on that particular matter. If your Bible could talk, would it say my owner, this is similar, reads verses to make a point but neglects verses elsewhere that teach more truth on that point? Let's look at this very thing that we just looked at in Matthew chapter 4. Sometimes a person will read a Bible passage and they'll make a point, but they're not really interested in what God has said about that same matter elsewhere. Look at the little words that Jesus said in verse 7 when the devil took Psalm 91 out of context. Look at what Jesus said in verse 7. Jesus said unto him, again. Underscore that in your Bible. Some verses say also, or something to that effect. Again it is written. What was Jesus trying to do with that little word again? He's trying to say, yes, devil, you're right. You're right. What you said, you quoted. But again, there's another Bible passage that says you can't make trial of the Lord. So whatever you're trying to do with this, it's not matching up with what is said elsewhere in the Word of God. And so the point of taking all of what God's Word says on a matter before we draw a conclusion. We live in a world of brevity where we want things quick. And I've had to resist this even in my own life. When you're studying Bible matters and you're trying to get all of what the Bible says about the marriage question or the work of the church or the second coming of Christ or whatever, it takes some time to digest and get all of what God says about that. I could quickly just pawn off something quickly, but it might be incomplete. And then somebody says, well, again, it is written over here. And so we have to get all of what God's Word says about a matter, and that takes some time. And in our world of brevity, and we want things quick and concise and short, we're doing ourselves a disservice when we won't sit down and take time. It would be better to say to somebody, I haven't fully studied that, than to say, well, here's what I believe without fully studying it. It's okay to say, I need more time to learn. It's okay to say, I want to study that some more. I want to get all of what the Bible says about that. It's okay to do that.
One reason why we have so many denominations today and so many religions today, all teaching contrary kinds of things, is because of these last three points. We don't want to read all of God's Word. We take passages out of context, or we'll read a verse and we won't get the truth elsewhere on that same topic. And we have hundreds and thousands of religions today, and much of it has to do with these last three points. And there's even division among churches of Christ because of these last three points. If our Bible could talk, what would it say? If your Bible could talk, if my Bible could talk, would it say my owner doesn't know where basic teachings are found? Or would it say that my owner knows his or her Bible? Now listen, I'll be the first one to raise my hand, especially the older that I've gotten, to say that sometimes I forget where some things are. I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I'm not talking about an occasional, I can't remember, or I don't remember exactly where that is. I'm talking about I just never took the time to learn basic things in the Word of God, to read through my Bible. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, what did God say about His people in the Old Testament days? My people are destroyed for what? For what? A lack of knowledge. Biblical illiteracy is high today, where we don't know basic truths of God's Word. We can rattle off sports figures. We can rattle off the stock exchange. We can rattle off the farmer's almanac. We can rattle off all kinds of stuff. But we don't know where basic things are in the Word of God. In Luke, I love Luke chapter 4 and verse 17. When Jesus was in the synagogue, it said that He found the place. He found the place in Isaiah that He wanted to read. He knew where to go to find it. Do you know where to go in your Bible to find things that you need? A lot of times Jesus would just be talking with someone and he would just say, in mid-sentence, He would say, and it is written in the Scripture, and then He would just quote it. Can we do that? Just quote Scripture. It just comes to our mind as to where it is or what it says. Jesus would often do that. He wouldn't say, now let me stop just a minute. Let me run get a scroll and let me look that up. Just give me a minute here. And He's about 10 minutes later. No, it would just flow from Him. And look at that temptation that in Matthew chapter 4 when the devil was tempting Him. I don't think that that was the devil tempting Him. And when Jesus said three times, it is written, I don't think it was, devil, hold on a minute. Let me run into town, grab a scroll, and study. It just came off His lips. It is written. Ooh. Just knowing where things are and knowing basic Bible teachings. Can we do that? We need to be, brethren, where we can do that. Paul did that in Acts chapter 23 and verse 5. So, basic Bible teachings. Where are they located? Where are they found? Our young people need that. We talk about our young people going off to school and our young people making changes in our life. Our young people need to know that because the psalmist says, Thy word I have laid up in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. I can just call to mind Bible passages that are going to help me in this particular situation that I'm in. There's a benefit to just being knowledgeable of basic things. When we drive our car, do we need to be knowledgeable of basic traffic laws? Yeah, sure. When we go to school, do we have to be knowledgeable of the basic subjects that we're studying? Sure. How much more so the Word of God that is trying to get us to heaven. If my Bible could talk, would it say that my owner doesn't believe that I am relevant for today? Turn with me to 1 Peter 1:25. There are a lot of folks today that, you know, the Bible, that's for my grandparents, you know. If they want to read that, that's good. You know, my parents, they read a Bible, my grandparents. But, you know, come on, it's the 21st century. We're talking about a book that's some 2,000 years old. Just with the New Testament, it's even older than that when you're looking at the Old Testament. And really, I really don't think that it's going to help me today. I'm trying to pick a boyfriend or girlfriend. It's not going to help me with that. I'm trying to pick a mate for marriage. It's not going to help me for that. Or a job or other kinds of things. It's just not relevant for today. And so that's why, with many people across the land, the Bible is just collecting dust, because their basic approach is such that they think that it has some good wisdom, and they think that it has some good sayings in there. And there's some things that might have been helpful for previous generations, but we're enlightened now, and we're educated, and we're sophisticated, and we have technology, and look at all the things that we can do and have done. And so we really don't need the Bible. Peter didn't believe that. The grass may wither up and fall, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the word of good tidings which was preached unto you. It is relevant. And it will help our marriage and family and anything that we're going through in life. Those things, those principles that we need to make it through life, it's right there to help us. It's just a few inches away. If we'll just open it up and read it. And as we said earlier, read to understand. And then we begin to say, hey, yeah, that is speaking to me. We can find ourselves in the Bible just about on every page. Oh, that's me. And it's there to help us. It's there to guide us. It is relevant. So when we pick it up, believe that. And apply it to the things that are going on today. If our Bible could talk, would it say, my owner doesn't believe that I am the very Word of God? In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, Peter reminds his readers there that prophecy of Scripture did not come from man. It came by men being moved by the Holy Spirit. That makes it divine. That makes it inspired. Sometimes things today are sloughed off as, well, Paul was just a man, he didn't know what he was talking about. Or Peter was just a man, he didn't know what he was talking about. These are individuals that were guided. No prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of opinions of men out there, but this is not one of them. This is not one of them. And we do need to ignore the opinions of men and the traditions of men and the ideas of men and the philosophies of men, but this is not one of them. And a lot of times people will read a verse and then they'll say, but. Yes, but. And then, well, it's archaic and old. That doesn't apply to us today. We hear that a lot. Or, yes, but it's not really the Word of God. And so the Bible is basically downgraded to, you know, the words of men on par with Aristotle and Plato and Socrates and Homer and or more modern writers. We've got to keep it elevated where it should be, and that is the very Word of God. If our Bible could talk, would it say, my owner expects the wrong thing from me? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. What do we expect when we open up our Bible? What do we expect to read? What do we expect to get from it? Some people will pick up their Bible and they're expecting some, you know, quaint little sayings and, you know, refrigerator magnet statements and little cute little things that you can print somewhere in a bathroom or a calendar. Or they might hear the Bible and they're thinking, well, you know, it's a book for old people. When we pick up our Bible, what are we actually expecting from it? And I think a lot of Bibles would say, you know, my owner expects the wrong thing from me. God has revealed His Word, look at 2 Timothy 3:16, to guide us in every aspect of our life. Every Scripture, not some, every or all Scripture, inspired of God, not man's Word, God breathed, is also profitable for teaching. Do we ever need that in between services? Do we ever need any teaching? For reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness. That's what the Bible is. It's not to sit on the coffee table and look pretty. It's not to soak up the sun in the back window of our car. It's not to press out flowers, as some people do. It's not just simply to write down birthdays and anniversaries and when we were born and when we died. There's nothing wrong with writing that in our Bible. It is to teach us, reprove us, correct us, instruct us. And when we approach the Bible in any other kind of way, we don't give it the value that it can really give for our lives. Would our Bible say that my owner carries me in the hands but not in the heart? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. John talks about how the young men can ward off the devil. And he says, because the Word of God has been laid up in you, abides in you. 1 John 2 and verse 14. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, spiritually strong, and the Word of God abides in you. Let's get it from our hands that we're carrying into our hearts. And when it's abiding in us, look at the rest of the verse. You have overcome the evil one. We don't end up being slain on the spiritual battlefield to the devil because the Word of God is abiding in us. Carry it in your hands, but make sure it's also in your heart. Would our Bible say that my owner reads me but doesn't obey me or allow me to change his or her life? We can read and we can hear lessons, but are we changed by them? In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, as the book is just getting started, we're told that the book of Revelation is to be very practical for these first century Christians. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep the things that are written therein. Keep means to obey. We need to read and hear, but we also need to go out and keep them. To be hearers of the Word and doers of the Word. Each Bible class, am I allowed to be changed by what is studied? Each sermon, am I allowed to be changed by what is studied? Each time I read throughout the week, which is great what we're doing, our daily Bible reading, have I been changed by that story or by that doctrine or by that verse, whatever it is I read? Am I changed? Am I a better person? Have I obeyed the gospel as a result of that? Am I becoming a Christian? Am I being baptized into Christ? I hear all of this about baptism. Am I actually going to do that? And then as a Christian, I hear all these things. David talked about at the Lord's Supper, about obeying God. I hear these things. Do I go out and obey them? I hope our Bible says that. And then last of all, my owner sometimes adds to or takes from my words. Have you ever had that happen at home? You're having a conversation, maybe with your spouse, and then the teenage kids come in and they start repeating, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute, I didn't say that. You're adding to my words. You're saying something I didn't say. Ever had that happen? God doesn't want us to add to or take from His words. And so when we read the Word of God, be content to simply speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. The very end of our Bible says, do not add to or take from the Word of God. That's almost the very last verse. The last main concept that is taught in the Word of God is don't add to it or take from it. And yet that's the very thing that people do on a daily basis all over the world. One reason, again, why we have so many religious groups that we have. If your Bible could speak, what would it say? Well, we're going to stand and sing this as an invitation song, Thy Word. I appreciate Seth leading all these songs today, dealing with the Word of God. I believe that there are many here today whom, if your Bible would speak, would say good things. Let's all be like that. If your computer could speak, if your cell phone could speak, if your four walls of your house could speak, if your Bible could speak, what would it say? Let it say those things that would show that we are using it the way God wants it used, and we're allowing our lives to be changed. And I hope that there might be someone this morning that would allow their life to be changed by the Word of God, to show that by coming in obedience. We would assist you in being baptized. You could be raised to walk as a new creature in Christ. Or if there's someone here as an erring child of God that needs to come back and that Word, that gospel penetrates into your heart and you're pricked in the heart and you're moved to make a change, if you can come and we pray for you, we can help you as well. But let's go out and have what we hold in our hands walking out of this building, make sure that we're walking out with it in our heart and we're using God's Word in the way that would be pleasing to Him. If we can help you, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing.